You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. It's a 6 o'clock hour. We're hoping to hear now from Taylor McQuillan of the U of A softball. And we're any moment here, I'm hoping. So let's just continue on. Did you see that DeAndre Ayton is in the first team, NBA first team? What are you talking about, DeAndre Ayton being first team?
I don't think that's surprising. I think the thing that seems a little bit more surprising to me is just the rookie of the year being a finalist. I don't know that he's going to win it, but I think it's obviously a good sign to be at that level right now. And I don't think anything he's done has surprised anybody. I mean, we knew he was very capable of having the type of season that he's had. And so it hasn't been super surprising, but good for him and, good right. for the Suns to start building this thing back up again.
Because he was the number one guy, there was a lot of criticism early and beyond because he was not that flashy guy. He just gets the job done. We all knew that. He's just a big body, he's a big body who does a lot of different things. And then the Doncic, kid in Dallas had a great year.
Yep.
And so did, Trae Young. So they're more flashy than he is.
I would assume Luka's going to win it, but
yeah,
but I mean, DeAndre being on there, especially in this day and age when the big man is kind of going out of style,
and
changing and big men are, they're not what they used to be. I mean, you're not. You don't have, Arvydas Sabonis out there.
Right.
It's a different type of game for those guys. So I think that says a lot about him and how he's willing to adapt his game to fit into the NBA game and continue doing what he does, but adapt and fit into what today's game is.
Were you there when Channing Frye went to talk to us?
I wasn't. I was out of town.
He talked about that. He got to Phoenix and his career was kind of fading out. And then he talked to Steve Kerr, David Griffith, and, became a three-point shooter and became pretty good at it. He had, 14, 15, 16 years in the NBA. Nice career for Channing Frye. And you kind of have to continue to reinvent yourself at every level.
Yeah, we were talking. I mean, imagine having a 13 or 14 or 15-year NBA career. And even if you're not a Hall of Famer, even if you never made an All-Star game, if you're able to stay in the league for that many years, over a decade, I don't know how you couldn't be happy about that.
No question. I'm in my sixth month here, and I've surprised a lot of people 6 months in. I wanted to ask you something. What was it? Are you going to be, I'm going to probably, as you could tell, I'm going to need a lot of help this summer. Are you going to be around?
I am. And it's interesting. It's going to be a lot more than I usually am. Usually I'm spending a lot of time out in California or in Las Vegas, but summertime is all about basketball recruiting. And, with everything that's been going on, the NCAA has kind of changed things around and has some different ideas about how they want to run things and who they don't want being a part of the recruiting process. And, AAU teams are kind of trying to get pushed out a little bit here by the NCAA, and they've really limited how much they want to have, those traditional travel ball teams in front of coaches. And it's changed. There was only one live weekend in April. There's only going to be one more live weekend for those teams, for those travel ball teams in July. And outside of that, there's been a lot of changes. In June, traditionally, which is a quiet month, a lot of coaches tend to go on vacation because there's no live periods. There's, it's a downtime. And a lot of basketball players will go play with their high school teams as opposed to these travel teams. And they'll kind of get a chance to relax a little bit, play some summer league. And now they're putting it on these high school organizations in the month of June. You guys, there's going to be live periods and you guys have to host events. And, these high school organizations are saying, we don't have, the facilities. We don't have the money.
Sure.
Are you going to help us out? And, a lot of states have opted out. California has opted out and said, we're not hosting events in the month of June. And so it's really changed a lot of things. A lot of the bigger states have backed out and said, we're not going to do it. So Arizona is one of those states that is going to host tournaments in June. And so there'll be a live period. Coaches will be able to go and watch high school recruits with their high school teams, which is different. Coaches haven't been able to do that before. When these recruits go into summer league with their high school teams, coaches aren't allowed to be there. So that changes. And, I think it could have a good effect. And I think that's what the NCAA is thinking, is that it's more like what you'll see in college basketball. It's a little bit more structured in high school basketball. And so they're anticipating it being a little bit better, venue for coaches to be watching recruits. But, The next change is going to be, you know, Las Vegas is always the big kind of finale to the summer travel ball season.
Right.
Las Vegas was also where a lot of stuff went on that shouldn't have gone on.
Sure.
And so they've kind of tried to take that element out of it and get that element out of the game by making these camps that they're going to have in July run by USA Basketball. And they're going to be regional camps. There's going to be a lot of players invited to come. But if you're going to have these people that are around these recruits, they're not going to, it's not as easy as just telling them, hey, go away.
Right.
They're going to still want to be involved with these recruits. And it'll be interesting to see who shows up to some of these camps and who doesn't based on just that on, you know, USA Basketball saying, hey, we're not going to pay for, you know, your entire crew to come out here. We just want you. And well, no, if you want me, then you want everybody that's coming with me. So it'll be interesting to see how that all gets approached, but definitely a change, but the big camp for the West is going to be at GCU. So that'll be, you know, a new thing that's happening. We'll see how it goes. This is kind of the first trial run for all of these changes. And, but what it means is I'll be around here a lot more.
So the NCAA has the call on this? Since when? They're the ones that are dictating.
Yeah. I mean, NCAA rules, it's recruiting rules. They've always had the call.
That's another reason why I hate recruiting and a bunch of the BS that goes on, because they could have done this a while ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. And there's no guarantee that this is going to work. And
more than
likely, it's not going to work.
There's always ways to kind of circumvent.
Yeah. It's simply telling people go away is not going to get a lot done. And that's really what it feels like the NCAA is trying to do right now, and just saying, hey, just go away. We've got this handled. But
we
don't know that they understand what they're getting themselves into as well.
Right. I guess there's always the good thing that they're trying.
Yeah.
Trying to make it better. We'll see if it actually happens.
It's also putting coaches to work a lot more, which
coaches?
They don't love.
The AAU coaches?
College coaches, because they have to be on the road in June, when before they could have taken the entire month of June off and gone on vacation with their family, because there is no live period in June typically.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then they're just going to say it's more work.
Yeah.
More 24/7. It's already, and it's, you get paid a lot of money for a reason. Yeah, very little time off.
Yeah, so we're fortunate here at least that a lot of these changes have been, at least for me, they're going to be taking place in Phoenix or you know, around that area, so.
So like you said, at the end of the day, you're going to be around more, so you'll be in the studio a lot more.
Yeah.
There's been no word on any assistant, have there?
No,
nothing like that. No word. It may not come for a while. No word about a lot of things. That's true. But the good thing is, I think that Sean, I'm not saying either or, Sean looks like he came away unscathed.
Where do you stand on them coming out and saying anything about it?
They should. How can I say this? I think it doesn't look good optically if you don't. But I understand that they can't, because the lawyers are probably telling them that. You know how I feel. The Hickey press conference that we had under the bowels of McHale 3 months ago was a nothing. It was a nothing sandwich. He said he supports Sean, and that was it. Pretty much 10 minutes of talking, and that's what it was. That's what we got out of it. No duh. We know that already.
Has he filled out his coaching staff? Has he got all of his assistants?
That's what we're talking about.
I didn't think they did. Okay.
No, So, but I think that at the end of the day, they'll have to. They'll have to. NCAA or no NCAA. But you know how I am. What does it hurt? But then it does. I could see both sides. It's a tough call. It's a tough call.
I don't. Maybe refresh my memory, but I don't feel like we've ever heard I can't talk about this.
From whom?
From Hickey or anybody in administration saying we're not allowed to talk about this. That's why we're not telling you more than what we're telling you.
I thought the most telling. I've been here 30 years, 31 years, and I've talked to U of A people throughout the years on big stories. And this is obviously a big story. The Lutz retirement, and I know more than I needed to know. It's hard to confirm stuff, even from back in 88, back way, long time ago. The surprising thing that came out to me is they had a correction. They came out with a press release correction on a news event that has already happened. They didn't have to come and say that this was, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It was a few weeks ago.
It was a paragraph. You know, I just wanted to clarify that the NCAA, we're abiding by the NCAA, yet whatever it was, and it, not that it's ongoing, we're just abiding by it or whatever. Because I guess everyone else made it look like it had just started.
Yeah.
Who didn't know that it already had started a long time ago?
Apparently a lot of people, because I was getting alerts on my phone saying Arizona's under investigation. I said, yeah, we knew that two months ago.
Yeah, we know that that she's pregnant. We're just waiting for the baby. In all reality, I said, what's this coming from? And I've never seen a correction on a story that that I know that people have written that are factually incorrect, they've never come to correct it.
Yeah, this entire saga and story has told me that a lot of people just don't read.
Have you had a chance, either of you, to look into this story about Book Richardson's attorney asking for probation instead of any jail time?
That came out this morning or yesterday, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was just within the last day or so.
Yeah, no, because and the only thing that's going to come out is whether he's sentenced to whatever he's sentenced to. They're just bringing that out because they need him to go on probation.
Apparently the lawyer has pointed out that Book says he never gave any money to the athletes that they're talking about. And in one instance where the FBI had him recorded, and where he was offered by the FBI guy some money to give to one of the students, yeah. That money never really changed hands. The money never was given to Book. And Book, according to the lawyer, says he has not given any money to any of the players. So I don't know. I'm confused by all this.
Well, it's been a confusing story since the beginning. That was the question, whether he actually got the $20,000, which I think he did, and that's what he did, and whether that money actually changed hands with a recruit. Most of the talk that was on the tape was the Quinterly,
yeah. Right?
Quinterly, mm-hmm. And the mom, and that Sean had paid players, or a player.
But that's the one that the lawyer says the FBI agent, who is supposedly going to give the money to Book to give to the Quinterly
right.
family. Uh-huh. That money never came to Book. It was just part of the FBI trying to get some information on Book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, we'll know in a week or so what happens.
I'm counting on you, Steve.
I still think the thing that's most important to this entire story and everything that's going to, you know, really matter is going to have to do with the NCAA. And that's really the next stage of this entire thing.
Yeah. I just got a text from the U of A. Unfortunately, Taylor McClellan is not going to be available. They just finished on the field, and she's not going to be available to call in. So I'm sorry about that. So now you just have us. We'll maybe try to do it tomorrow, possibly. That'd be good. We'll see what happens. We don't know, Tom. I saw the news of that yesterday. With all the hearsay tapes and people saying, see, I told you it was under oath, but it wasn't. It was a hidden camera, blah, blah, blah. I guess we'll know when we know.
But you know what? Sean's not mentioned. Book's taking this all on himself. What do you make of that? You're thinking that Sean, head coach, should have known that this activity was going on, but is it possible that he didn't?
I can say this wholeheartedly because I said it publicly a few times. Sean is the boss. If he didn't know, shame on him. If he didn't know, shame on him. He's screwed either way. It's like a parent, and I say this often. And I said this over the weekend to some people that asked me the same question. If I'm a dad, and I am a dad, and my kids were under 18 and they were messing around and getting in trouble, that's going to be on me. It just is.
But do you think it's possible that all this activity could have been going on without Sean knowing?
That's a question that I can easily say. Ask the question again.
The activity involving Book and these payouts, supposedly, and now Book saying he never did make the payouts. This have been going on and Sean not really
sure.
Knowing it was going on?
The possibility? Sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, without a doubt, sure. But the fact of the matter, it did or didn't, and he's the boss. That's whether he's going to get a slap on the hand or not, that's the whole thing. It's going to be a slap or a bigger slap.
But are you saying that as far as the FBI investigation, it's not involving Sean and that is now
correct.
Water under
yeah,
the bridge?
I think that's where a lot of the confusion,
correct,
especially from outside the fan base. I think even inside the fan base too, there was still some of that, but especially outside the fan base, when you Twitter search Sean Miller's name, you'll find, you know, thousands of tweets about, he's under investigation. The FBI is looking into him, and they're not.
Yeah.
He would have been arrested already if they had something on him. Why would they wait this long to go, now we have Sean Miller?
Right. So this was not about him.
The FBI issues and the NCAA issues are two completely different
correct.
Things. And the thing that should be more concerning to Arizona fans and Arizona as a school and program is the NCAA issues, because those are going to be what's really going to be a tangible impact on this program.
And again, if any of the listeners want to get in on the conversation, Steve, the number is
790-2040. Please call if you want to. That's fine. We're not going to have Taylor McQuillan here tonight. They just finished on the field, and she's just unavailable after this as they get ready for their game on Friday night. So let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk, and come back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here. I'm Steve Rivera, and we're on AM 1030 The Voice, and I'm talking with Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. There'd be only one cat. Are the seasons, even though I worked for you for like 2 years, your job is different than mine. Are you busy? I know you're kind of slowing down right now, but how is it for the year for you? Every day is a job. Every day you work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you know, like I said, the coaches have to work in June. We have to work in June, too. I mean, it's as the recruiting calendar goes is as we go. And, yeah, for me, it's never – there's no days off. There's no vacation time. It's all, you know, work every day. And there's always recruits to talk to. There's always something going on. And, you know, every summer is kind of – not really a true summer. It's just, you know, the changing of the calendar. And usually when school is out is when, you know, recruiting season really heats up because there's more time for, you know, football players to have 7-on-7 events and basketball players to have their travel ball events. And now, you know, all these high school things that they're going to be doing and camps and all these things that's going to be going on now. So it's never a downtime. And then usually about the end of July is when it all kind of really picks up again because you have the end of kind of basketball recruiting season and then you know it's football media day and then football training camp and then you're off and running with the new school year. So this time of year, May, is usually the downtime, but we've really tried to pick up our coverage of the other sports because you at a certain point you have to take notice of a team that's, you know, potentially going to the College World Series. So that's different this year. We've really tried to cover a lot more of baseball and softball and some of these other sports. So that's kind of picked it up this time of year.
I'm not sure how to go with this. Football. What's the biggest? I'm sure the basketball program has kept you busy behind the scenes in terms of your
message boards.
Yeah, because people talk back there and they talk freely.
Yeah,
asking what's going on. And I'm sure some of them know things too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to stay quiet though, and would rather kind of just keep it more because we have, you know, private messages and stuff on there too that you can do and where nobody can see it except for me. And it's just conversation between me and, you know, a subscriber or a couple of subscribers. So, I think even there's some people who would rather keep their conversations and don't want to, they know how the internet works. And if it's out there, someone can eventually find out what you said. And so,
sure. It's funny when I'm in public now and I've been this way for a while, cause even my mom doesn't know what the heck I do, which is funny because where do you work, son? I said, well, mom, you don't need to know. So when I have a public conversation, it's very tempered, because who knows who's listening and who knows if they have a Twitter handle or what Instagram or whatever and says, hey, Rivera said this, I got a guy close to the program, but, and I'm not close to the program. None of us are.
Well, and here's something that goes on, I think, a lot, especially with people in the media and there's, you know, old takes exposed on Twitter.
Yeah, very much so.
That looks for, there's a specific Twitter account that looks for, you know, people that just got things completely wrong. And I think in what we do, things can change so much from time to time that you could say something 2 weeks ago and it could be completely different, you know, today. But someone will say, well, look what Steve wrote on Twitter 2 weeks ago. He clearly doesn't know what's going on.
Correct.
Because he said this, but all the while things just changed and, you know, you're held to whatever you said first. So it's always dangerous when, you know, people ask you stuff that should probably be, I get a lot of questions on Twitter about, you know, certain things that are meant for probably a message board behind a paywall and are going to be conversations that shouldn't be having, you know, openly in the public or things that's just a little bit more, you know, behind the scenes. And people just want you to answer it and say, just tell me because I want to know. And
right.
Well,
no,
I have a website you can sign up for and you can ask me there. But
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but I mean, again, a lot of what goes on is, you know, things just change and you can get caught in that where you say something that is true at that moment, but 2 weeks later isn't. And everyone assumes, well, you don't know anything because look what you said 2 weeks ago. And it's like, well, yeah, that was true 2 weeks ago.
Given your job, and I know you've been here about 8 years or so, I've been here 30 some, and everyone thinks I'm supportive of the program because I've been doing this so long, written a few books about it. So I'm a big rah-rah guy. And you know me, I'm hardly the rah-rah guy. If I make it home safely, I rah-rah that I got it home safely. But you know what I'm saying. Everyone thinks I'm part of the program. I work for U of A. I write these stories. But that's further from the truth. So I'm kind of very neutral. I like to see him succeed because it's easier to write about victories than it is about defeat, unless when I'm in a bad mood, I can write the heck out of a defeat pretty easily. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do people think that you're pro or not pro? And where do you stand?
It was funny. A couple years ago, when I think all this stuff happened with the basketball program, I tweeted a few things out just because I'm closer to kind of everything that went on. I'm out on the road and
right.
seeing all these
you
things.
See
and,
stuff. Yeah.
And so I have a unique vantage point from all this stuff. And I tweeted a few things out just stating, you know, facts and things that are I know to be true just about, you know, college basketball and recruiting in general.
Yes.
And it was funny. I got responses one right after the other. One saying that, why do you hate Sean Miller in Arizona? And one saying, calling me a homer. And I said, well, I guess that means I'm doing it right. I don't know. I guess I'm making a good point and
right.
that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's been mixed. I've tried to play it as neutral as I can. Obviously, I'm running a fan site. So
right.
it's going to be kind of turn that way a little bit more. But I've tried to remain neutral because, I mean, that's what our job is to remain neutral and just report the facts. And you know, you can have your opinion, and I do have my opinions on, you know, the message boards and other venues, and I'll write, you know, opinion pieces from time to time. But, it's funny when I got that. It was back-to-back tweets. Well, you're a homer, and then one, why do you hate Sean Miller?
Right. Just it also states that you can't please everybody all the time.
No.
It's funny. I've written very little about this whole situation. I did maybe a year or so ago when it became very kind of crazy. But I've stayed away from it because I don't know enough about it. I don't think anybody really does, whether you're pro or negative.
I do think the thing that sells, especially in the Twitter age, is having a hard stance one way or a hard stance the other way. I think people want either to hate you or to say, no, I agree with everything you say.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it difficult is that that's kind of become, when you look at, you know, people who are on TV, what, you know, ESPN has become on TV for 6 hours of the day during the afternoons.
Yeah, but
it's people yelling at each other that have strong opinions, and then it's something to put on Twitter, and people go, oh, I can't believe he said that, or I agree with everything that guy just said. And
right.
I think people really
which
like that.
Which means nothing to me. You know, even though we do it on the radio here all the time, and I kind of don't pro or against either way, I don't understand that radio where it's back and forth, hate this, like this. At the end of the day, it means nothing.
You know, unless like you the, truly mean it,
like
then
the Stephen
it's,
A. I think, Smith. And, Stephen A. Smith, he does something, but 2-3 weeks ago, oh, I hear that, or my sources tell me that DeAndre was on the take all this time. Really? You tell me this now? Why didn't you tell me this two years ago or whatever? All of a sudden, you're saying this on the record, on the radio? Does that make sense
to me? No, I think something that I'll always remember Sean Miller saying, and it was probably three seasons ago, maybe before even all this stuff happened. Someone brought up, I don't remember what the question was. It was in a press conference, and he said, well, you guys can just say whatever you want anyways. No one's ever going to call you out on
it. I remember that.
And I said, that's so true. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, and that's where it kind of gets caught up in all this stuff too, because is anybody ever, what's going to really happen to Stephen A. Smith if he's wrong on something?
Right. No, look at
ESPN. He's not being paid to be right or wrong. He's being paid to create a conversation and to get people going.
Correct. Well, look at what happened with his Ari when Ari put the video out of him yelling at Tarzewski, and he got on Ari and blah blah blah. I don't know where I was going to go with it, but it was just kind of like the media is the media and it does what it does, and I'll just have to live with it.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, but I just always remember when he said that, where he said, "You guys can say whatever you want, and
right.
what's really going to happen to you?"
Right,
that's
kind of true.
Yeah,
unless
true.
You really go overboard.
Yeah.
Well, and ESPN, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. And we're talking off the air here that they had this $100,000 payment thing. They did. They screwed up that story in parts, but that's a huge mistake if they did. But so in the world that I know, there's got to be something to it. It doesn't make any sense. How could you mess that up?
I mean, it would be a monumental just. Such a bad mistake.
They
did that. Sure. It's monumental.
And at the end of the day, no one's questioned it since the trial because it never came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a call real quick. Chuck, how are you?
Oh, just fine, Steve. Yeah, this is for your Mr. Morales. Is it Morales?
It's Moreno.
Moreno, I'm sorry. Mr. Moreno, I want to get your assessment of the U of A baseball team.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's been an interesting season. The issues have been very clear. The pitching. I mean, the offense has been so good game in and game out. It's been rare when the offense hasn't been on. That's how it's played out this season, is that the offense has kind of been there carrying the team through the points that it can, but you can only score so many runs and you can only do so many things, and you need the pitching to at some point, come through and do some things. That's what's happened recently, and you've seen what's happened is they've gone on this little, you know, run where they've won a lot of games this month and are in a position now to make the postseason. But there's definitely a lot of things that have just not been right this season, and they've kind of got it corrected. They had the defensive issues early in the season, got those cleaned up, and it's all starting to kind of come together right now. And as I said earlier in the show, I think something that Jay Johnson is really excited about and is at least happy about right now is that they are finishing the season strong, even if they don't, you know, make the postseason and aren't playing next week, that they at least have some kind of momentum going into next season, into 2020.
Well, I agree with you on some things. The pitching, they're averaging over almost eight walks a game. In fact, a little over that, I believe. That's almost three innings of free baseball they're giving the opposition. On top of that, they were making almost two errors a game up until recently. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Johnson has got a lot of work to do. He's got to find some players that know how to play defense. He's got to find some pitchers that know how to throw strikes. They don't necessarily have to be the, you know, throwing the high 90s, but somebody just throw strikes. They've got the hitting. I'll give them a good solid B+ on hitting. I mean, they're a tremendous hitting team, but boy, they've got a lot of work to do other than that. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chuck. By the way, I've been trying to get Coach Johnson on the show a number of times, as recently as today, and I got no help. So maybe I can get him on one time before the season's over, maybe even when the season's over. But thanks for listening, Chuck, and thanks for being a loyal guy with the baseball team. So thanks a bunch.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Did you hear me?
Yeah. Steve, yeah, your last comment about trying to get Jay Johnson.
Yes.
Is that more of a problem with you not being a flagship station for the U of A?
Good point. That could be a possibility. I've asked the sports information person who covers baseball a couple of times, two or three times. In the most recent time, I just didn't hear back. And maybe it's just bad timing or whatever, but I've tried, and I'm going to try again one last time.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for listening as well. It'll be good.
Yeah, all those were valid points, and I think if you're a fan, I think there was our message boards were really, for a while there, were really on fire about, you know, Jay Johnson, and they were starting up that, you know, that chatter, like, hey, is he the right guy? Does he need to go?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't think that's an opinion that's not shared by a lot of other people.
I don't mind the fans criticizing and complaining or whatever about a coach. I don't mind it. I don't understand it. But the ones who do, they have to be invested, where they have season tickets, they have money invested in the program, to give money to the school. But if it's just some Joe dude that's complaining just to complain, to me it means nothing. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's how I feel.
No, I think fans, that's part of being a fan. That's why they have that name, fans. They're fanatics. That's what it's about. And I get it. I mean, I've rooted for teams, you know, my whole life and understand it, but I get it.
But the guy should be fired. And what? So what did you do? Oh, you had a bad day, Bonanno, because they lost? Sorry. You know what you do? Stop being a fan. Stop being a fan. Let's take a break here, Tom. Let me wake you up real quick first. Can we take a break and come back here for our final segment on Tuesday here on 10:30 The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera here on AM 1030, The Voice. And I'm talking with Matt Moreno, who's in-house with GoAZCats.com. Do you know even some of the songs I play, Matt Moreno?
Yeah.
I know you're a youngster.
Yeah. There is some CCR in there.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Not that old. I'm not that young, I should say. Not that young.
Yeah, no,
I'm not that old.
Hey, let's go to the phone line. And my friend, Pancho, you're on the phone. How are you?
Hi, friend. How are you?
Hi, friend. You're like my savior from the radio and myself. What's your thought today?
Matt's doing a pretty good job of saving you, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, yes. My intern will be back next week. She's actually in San Francisco to see her parents and the Golden State Warriors. Lucky her.
Well, you guys are pretty serious today, taking on a lot of heavy topics. I thought maybe I'd call and lighten it up just because.
Oh, man, this could be about anything then. Go right ahead, please.
Well, first of all, did Javier Morales send that tweet out, and did you get your lottery ticket yet?
Oh, you know what? He did send the tweet out, and I have not gotten it. So thanks, though. I need to get that, because if he's kind of predicting it, I better do it. And then, what's it? It's when your ship comes in, but you're at the train yard?
I haven't heard that one. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then, Tom, you've had two chances now to get that corn dog war going in your favor, and you keep passing on these opportunities. I don't understand your reluctance to just go ahead and take a bet again.
I've never won anything. I don't want to break the string.
He's never won anything, so he doesn't want to break the string. I get it.
And I got to tell you, I think he deserves a corn dog for the Naismith research that he did when. Steve, you are absolutely convinced that it wasn't because they had to bring the children indoors because it was too cold in Massachusetts. And sure enough, I'd never heard that one either. And your boy Tom comes up with an absolute trivia fact that is good enough for Jeopardy. Please, what would the question be on Jeopardy? Because it was too cold, they brought the kids indoors. What is basketball?
Yeah, what is Naismith? I don't know. Did that turn out to be true, or is that just kind of fiction?
No, that's true. And thanks to you, you remembered the name Naismith.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what gave me my lead to get the story.
That's like me saying, what's your name, Steve? Oh, what is basketball invented by? Naismith. I mean, that was an easy one. I can remember that. Pancho, not so much.
Ask Matt. He's probably the smartest guy in the room. So did he know that basketball was created so that kids could play indoors in the wintertime?
I still don't believe that, but Matt, did you know that?
I maybe have heard that before. I don't know that I knew it if someone said, hey, and asked me, but it sounds about right.
Reinforcements. The number is 790-2040. 790-2040. Call in and set us straight on one.
Yeah, yeah, right. Now we're going to have the Team Tom, Team Steve t-shirts made.
Well, I was wondering about that. The whole Team Bob, Team Steve thing had a life of its own, and I'm not getting that there's a Team Bob, Team Steve rivalry developing.
I tried to wake him up yesterday, you know, stir some juices with him, and it just ain't happening. It just ain't happening. Tom is just there kind of, he's going to agree with me or not agree with me and just not say anything.
Not your show, and I want to know what you have to say.
Oh, good. Thank you. You're the one guy. You're the one guy.
Although, what do you guys think of these new rules that are going to allow transfers to play right away in the Pac-12 conference, transferring from one school to another? And how about this so-called formula they have come up with the basketball, men's basketball program, as far as how they're going to be allowed to schedule teams?
The scheduling one, I think both are just kind of common sense things that they just kind of really just made happen because it made no sense not to have them the way they are today as opposed to, you know, before they made these changes. But, I mean, it's going to make scheduling make teams schedule a little bit more difficult in their non-conference, which is good. I mean, teams sometimes like to schedule those cupcakes, and it's just you're not going to be able to do that anymore. And I think that's a good thing is they, you know, move to this 20-game conference schedule, which I think it's all going to be good. And the transfer thing, I think, again, was just a common sense thing. I mean, to make those guys who just want to transfer within the Pac-12 lose a year just doesn't make a lot of sense because, again, I think, and this is what put the statement out there, put the press release out there, they said it's because they want to essentially make them like every other student that can transfer and do whatever they want. It doesn't have to miss a year, lose a year of anything. And so it makes sense. I mean, I don't know that it's going to change a whole lot. And for example, like Arizona, when it comes to basketball scheduling, they kind of were already doing that just because they know how the NCAA selection committee thinks and for the most part. And We'll give them, you know, they kind of know what it's going to take to have a good seed and for them to succeed and, you know, go far in the tournament and have a good place in the tournament based on their schedule. I know fans don't like necessarily what happens with Arizona's home schedule in particular during non-conference.
Would you? Would you?
No, but you're trying to fit into a formula, and so, again, I get it.
Pancho, I know you spend money on season tickets, and I don't know if you come to many games at home, but some people that you give them to must be happy to go to these games that are going to face better opponents. They have to be.
Well, I don't do basketball anymore. It just got too expensive, and I didn't come out enough to see the games. I do appreciate the way Lute Olson used to schedule and play the best at all times. I don't know why the shift occurred and the schedule seems to get watered down. I do think that this is a good move by the Pac-12. I think they're tired of being, you know, the pincushion and the laughing stock of the NCAA tournament every year. And, you know, you raise the schedule level and you're gonna raise the rankings overall, the way the committee thinks. I think it's a good thing, and then adding the two conference games is going to help with that as well. The thing I don't understand, I hadn't heard yet, to change the topic here, is this transfer rule. Now, does this apply to all classes, or is it just for your senior year, or what are the parameters here for this open transfer?
There was a lot of confusion about it because there's a lot of different reports and people who had to correct what they said. It was essentially losing a year at the end. So you're still going to have to sit out. It's not going to make everybody eligible right away if you're transferring within the conference. But it was the prior rule was that you would lose a year, I believe, on the back end because you'd have to sit out anyways just per NCAA rules if you transferred. So it's not anything dealing with grad transfers or anything like that because, you know, Arizona's had guys like that where, you know, they transfer. Michael Barton was a guy that came from Cal to Arizona to play linebacker as a grad transfer, and he was able to play right away. But it's those other transfers that they would lose a year on the back end if they transferred within the Pac-12. So it's not going to change a whole lot, but it's just one of those things that was like, well, yeah, duh, you should be doing that already.
So let me make sure I follow you here. If you're a sophomore at Cal and you want to play at Stanford, you get to play your junior year, but then you have to miss your senior year. Is that correct?
Yeah, you would essentially lose time on the back end previously if you wanted to transfer within the conference.
That seems a little counterintuitive to me. One of the benefits of transferring is you get an entire year to familiarize yourself with the campus, the university, the people on campus, the team, the system, and you get to be in the weight room and develop your skill for an entire year so that when you come back, you're a stronger player. I actually think this would reduce the number of transfers.
I would assume that you're given the option. Are you given the option where you can sit out the year and do what Pancho's saying, or do what you just said, Moreno?
I'm gonna have to look into it some more.
There's no pleasing you, Pancho, is there?
Well, I'm just thinking logically here.
Really, that's the first.
This gets right back to your daddy ball thing where I'm not happy with my playing time, so I'm just going to go run away and play somewhere else.
Right.
That's a short-sighted and immature reaction, in my opinion.
I agree.
And I would think that as an educational institution, the Pac-12 governing body, the NCAA, whomever, the schools would say, wait a minute, this is a hasty decision by a young person who his frontal lobe still hasn't developed completely in the area where your critical thinking and decision making is and your judgment. Why would they allow that to happen? I am stunned to hear this development.
But
this
Matt,
is breaking news, but I'm like, what?
Would the coaches, after they assess the newcomer, they could decide to redshirt him, couldn't they?
Yeah, but I think that the decision that has already been made, that's why he went there in the first place. I would assume that. Maybe not.
He's being told he won't be redshirted. If that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, because I'm sure there's been discussion whether if I'm going to go to Matt's school, I've already talked to Matt and said, am I going to be able to play right away? If I'm not, am I going to redshirt? If not, can I go somewhere else?
Well, it's also kind of falling in line with what's going on in the NCAA as a whole anyways, with everyone, you know, transferring and then becoming eligible right away and not even having to sit out. There's been so many guys that have gotten waivers that for whatever reason that they're just it's like Kevin Sumlin says, it's free agency. I mean, there's been so many players that don't really have a legitimate reason, you would think, to be transferring from one school to the other, other than that they're just not going to get playing time, so they decide to leave, and they're immediately eligible at their new school when that just hasn't been the case before. And there's so many of those cases across the NCAA, especially on the football side this year.
Do you have it, Pancho? Any more points for Pancho?
Well, I got a couple of things, but I have a challenge for the three of you. I'm sitting here at halftime watching the Bucks and the and,
what's the score?
Toronto.
What's the score?
Let me see here. I think Toronto's up by. Hold on. It's coming on right now. It's just coming back from a commercial break. But which of the three of you can pronounce that guy's name from Milwaukee? The guy, the Greek god. It's 65-55, by the way. Toronto is leading. The second half just began.
Farfignugan. No?
Hey,
Matt, do you know who I'm talking about, Matt?
Yeah, Giannis.
Yeah, that's his first name.
Right.
What's his last name?
I'm trying to remember it off of memory. I'm not looking at my phone right now.
It's got like 13 letters in it.
Anacumpo?
That could be it. How good is that guy?
He's the next kind of new wave player. I mean, that's going to be the guy that I think a lot of people want to emulate for the last few years. It's been, you know, Kevin Durant. Doesn't matter if they're a 6'1" guard or a 6'11" center, they all think they're Kevin Durant. For the last few years, that's been, when you talk to every recruit and you say, well, who do you model your game after? Well, Kevin Durant. Well, you're a 7-footer, right? And, you know, the center who plays on the low block. And no, I want to be Kevin Durant. So I think Giannis is definitely going to be that new guy that everyone says, I want to be him. I want to be the Greek freak.
He's always got the ball in his hands. He starts at the top of the key, and he just goes right to the basket. And it amazes me how much distance he covers with two steps and then the length of his arms. He stays in the air. He floats. He changes positions. I didn't see a whole lot of him this year during the regular season, but in the postseason now, I've had the opportunity to watch him more. I'm stunned at how good this guy is, and I'm wondering if they can get through this series with Toronto, is there going to be some matchup issues with the Warriors? And Steve, of course, is going to say no. That the Warriors are going to crush them. But what do you think, Matt? Is there a chance for somebody to beat the Warriors?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. I was watching some TV, and they were kind of just talking about Milwaukee. And I think if there is going to be a team to do it, I think it's Milwaukee because of that reason, because he is such a matchup issue. And you try and figure out, okay, well, who's going to guard him? And I know that, you know, the Warriors obviously pay attention to defense. It's kind of what one of the things that they're known for, along with their shooting and everything else. But I think if there is a team that's going to do it, I think Milwaukee is that team. I think they're definitely going to be pushed. I don't think it's going to be, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if it's going to be a sweep, assuming Milwaukee moves on and plays the Warriors. But I think, and Giannis, I think, is going to be in the conversation pretty soon. I mean, in not too distant future, for being the guy that, you know, is the best player in the NBA, especially with LeBron kind of on the downside of his career. And and we'll see what happens with Kevin Durant, but I think Giannis is going to be that guy who everyone's going to go, that's the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, he's pretty special. And I haven't checked in a while. Earlier in the year, I noticed that they were leading the league in scoring points per game. Do you know, are they still way up there in points per game? And you know, maybe they'll be able to outscore Golden State.
That ain't happening. That ain't happening, Pancho. I'm going to have to cut you off there. You're kind of upsetting me. No. Oh, we got to go, because I want to ask him quick about the Kentucky transfer that's coming in and all the hype and all that stuff. But, hey, Pancho, thanks for, again, saving me on another show today.
You bet.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Thanks for
great
listening.
Talking with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening, too. I appreciate it. Hey, so did you see the kid at all in California?
I did. Watched him a lot. He played with Ira Lee on the travel ball circuit, which was – it was a different name. It was Earl Watson Elite at that time, but now they're West Coast Elite, which happens to also be the same team that Josh Green and Nico Mannion played for. Mm-hmm. So a lot of connections there. I did watch him. If he can be the guy he was in high school and when he was coming out of high school, he is what Arizona needs. A guy who plays defense, a guy who shoots threes. And that's what he does. I mean, when you looked at him in high school, you said, what does he do well? What is that guy going to be in college? Oh, he's a shooter. That's what he does. He has a really nice looking shot. He just hasn't. He had injury issues at Kentucky early on. Mm-hmm. He went to Kentucky for one, and there's going to be a lot of competition. You're going to be, if you're not on the top of your game, you're going to get recruited over. You're going to get passed over because they're going to bring in a new crop every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got kind of caught up in that mix, and honestly, probably should have went to a place like Arizona to begin with. He was committed to Cal for a while, and he was going to go to Cal, and then Kentucky came through with an offer, and
you can't say no to Kentucky.
No, and at that time, Quanzo had just left.
Yeah,
so he opened it back up. Kentucky, Arizona did get back in there, and they were really trying to make a push for him that second time around. So now they get it done. So there's a lot of familiarity there with Arizona and Sean Miller knowing his game and understanding what he's capable of.
Who's the best shooter Arizona has had in your time here?
I think we've had this discussion before. I think I'd still have to say Gabe York.
That's not a good thing.
No, and we've had that.
Not
we've
a good
had
thing.
The same top. This same
is
top
this
before.
Guy better than Gabe York?
I think he's capable of being that way. Right now, I don't know because his numbers from Kentucky don't show that. They're definitely not what you would anticipate and what you anticipated from him coming out of high school, but I mean, he's going to have a year to really sit on it and get better and get healthy, and then we'll see.
Another one of the reasons why Arizona has not gone further than the Elite Eight a couple times, they do not have a shooter. Haven't had a shooter since Salim Stoudemire. That's a long time.
Yeah.
At all intents and purposes, to me, that's it. In addition to other things, of course, but they haven't had a shooter. If Gabe York's your best shooter in the last 10 years or whatever, that's not good. True?
Yeah.
Good, we agree. We'll end the story. We'll end the day on you agreeing with me, Matt. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no
good to see you. We'll probably try to have a sports guy show soon, hopefully. There's another guy we have to have on the show, Jamino. But thanks, everybody, for listening today. On Tuesday, we'll hear from you guys again tomorrow, 79020. And we got the soccer tickets gone, right? They're gone. We're good. We're good for this week. Thanks, everybody, here on Eye on the Ball, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.